I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Luke, the closing verses of that gospel. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day, and we thank you for your holy word for our scriptures. And we ask, O Lord, that this day, as your word is proclaimed, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds and the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O God, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are truly our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. As I mentioned to the children this morning, this week we marked Ascension. Ascension Day was on Thursday. And on this, the last Sunday of our season of Easter, we always take a moment to remember that Jesus ascended. Our book of Acts and our gospel according to Luke both tell the same story of what happened on that day from a little bit different perspective. Luke ends his gospel, his story about Jesus Christ, with the story of the disciples watching him return to God. And Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, begins with that same story. It's a great story of transition, moving from the earthly Jesus and the story of his death and the promise that the resurrection brings us to what will happen as he is exalted, as he goes to be at the right hand of God. It's a time of transition, a time for possibilities, a time for the new to begin. In the gospel according to Luke, we see that Jesus has gathered with his disciples one last time to teach them. He has appeared to them for 40 days since Easter Sunday until Ascension. He has used those 40 days to show himself, to appear to the disciples as the risen Christ. He's shown them their wounds. He's walked with them. He's eaten with them. He's calmed their fears. He's taken away their doubts. But especially, he has opened their minds to the truth of the scriptures. The truth of the scriptures that everything from the law of Moses, from the beginning of the Old Testament, through the prophets and even the Psalms, was a story about God's saving act. God's saving act in Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus wants those disciples to know that, to be sure that they know that, that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. And as he's prepared to leave those disciples, he reminds them that they are now the ones to be witness to that good news, witness to these things. They're the ones to continue to tell the stories, to tell about Jesus's miraculous healings, about his preaching, about feeding the 5,000, about exorcising demons, about his arrest, his death, and about the promise that the empty tomb brought to all people. They are to be the witnesses of those things. And as Jesus teaches them one last time and takes them out to Bethany, where he will then ascend, he continues to bless them. He continues to bless them. Thomas Troger, the hymn writer, writing about this passage from Luke, says this: "The Gospel of Luke does not end in tears or a final embrace or a conclusive goodbye. It ends in blessing. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. That was the disciples' last wondrous glimpse of their friend, their teacher, their Lord. They saw his raised hands and heard his voice as he withdrew. Christ was in the act of blessing them as he left. Their last memory was not that he had blessed them and then stopped, not that he had finished and then all said amen, not that they wrote down the words of blessing and used it ever after as a part of their prayer life, but rather the process of blessing was continuing as he left them. Troeger goes on to write, I wonder how many times the disciples must have retold that story. The story of how Christ parted must have been a continual source of comfort and strength to the church. They may have remembered each other and told their children that story again and again. While Christ parted, he was still blessing us. It suggests that the blessing would never stop, that just because they could no longer see Christ, did that mean that he was no longer blessing them, no longer offering the benediction of his upraised hands and gracious voice and words. Luke doesn't end with a tearful goodbye, but a continuing blessing from Jesus Christ. We know that blessing will continue through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and those disciples are told to wait. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. We know that that happens 10 days later at Pentecost, but for those disciples who needed to wait, they had no idea how long this time of waiting might be. Would it be an hour? Would it be days? Would it be weeks? Would it be a year? And Luke tells us that as they left that place, as they left Bethany, they continued to worship. They were filled with great joy, and they continued that worship, that praise in the temple. They waited in hope. They waited in worship. They waited in joy. Our Gospel of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, could well be named Acts of the Holy Spirit, for that book of Acts really shows how the Holy Spirit empowered those early disciples so that they would be apostles, so that they could be witnesses to all these things, so that they could continue to tell the good news. In the book of Acts, we see just a little bit different view of the ascension. In that book of Acts, we see that, again, Jesus has opened their minds and their hearts, opened the minds and hearts of the disciples to truly who he is as the Messiah. And as he has gathered them there, those disciples, those fearful disciples who often doubted, who often wondered about God's plan, somehow have not quite grasped that good news that Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's plans. For those disciples asked Jesus, so now, Jesus, now is it the time that you will bring back the old Davidic monarchy? Now is the time that we'll have all the good fortune of King David? Is now the time that you will restore us to our true political place? Jesus dismisses that question because it's about to be a new age. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are about to do a new thing. It's not about the past. It's not about restoring the Davidic kingdom. It's about a new day and age when the Holy Spirit will empower those disciples to preach, to teach, and the early church will have its roots. The old Davidic reign will not be restored. The Messiah that God planned, that God showed us in Jesus Christ, was something quite different than the old King David. So in this story, we hear that as Jesus ascended, as he rose to take his rightful place at the right hand of God, the disciples, just like the children, were looking up to heaven and watching Jesus ascend. There's wonderful artwork about the ascension, and in one of my favorite pieces, you see only the feet of Jesus. There's a huge cloud, and the disciples are down below, and you see the feet of Jesus. I can imagine those disciples gazing up at those feet, wondering what comes next. What comes next? Well, what comes next as they are gazing up in amazement at Jesus' ascension is that two men in white robe come and ask them what they're doing gazing up to heaven. What are they doing standing there looking up at where the feet of Jesus have disappeared? I wonder if that same two white-dressed messengers that the women met at the empty tomb, those two angelic messengers who said to those women that first Easter morning, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" In fact, that story tells us that we're not to be gazing up to heaven. We're not to be inwardly looking for the repeat of the past. But truly, what we are called to do is to stop gazing into heaven, stop longing for the past, but looking outward into the future, into that next new thing that God's about to do. Truly, being a disciple and discipleship does not mean standing around staring up to heaven, looking up out of this world. Discipleship doesn't mean looking to the past, wishing that the good old days were here again, and talking about how much better things used to be. To be a disciple is to be a witness, to be one who proclaims with our lives the good news of Jesus Christ. The question all disciples need to ask is, what's next? What's my next faithful step? For those first disciples, it's to wait until they hear the word go from the Holy Spirit. And that's the same for all of us. With the Holy Spirit's guidance and power, we too are sent out into the here and now, set out into the community, even perhaps sent out into the world to share with others God's love and God's grace. Those early disciples who would become apostles after the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost were told to share the good news, to be witness of these things in Jerusalem, which was their here and now, in Judea, which was their nation, in Samaria, which was the nations around Judah, and then finally out into the world. The disciples, apostles, were sent, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be witness to all those things that God had done through Jesus Christ. And just as those first disciples, apostles, didn't go alone, we too, when we witness, when we are sent, we do not go alone. The Holy Spirit, that promised Holy Spirit, goes with us. Jesus is present with us just as he promised through the Holy Spirit. Wherever we go, whenever we go, even to the end of the age, even to the edges of the known world, God goes with us in that power of the Holy Spirit. So we too are witnesses to these things. We are the ones called to share the good news. We are the ones to tell that story. We are the ones to wait for that power of the Holy Spirit so that we too can tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, loves those people. He offers a prayer of thanksgiving. He's grateful for all that God is already doing in their lives. But he realizes that somehow they need to have just a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more wisdom. They need to have a little bit more of God's power revealed to them. They need to hope. They need to have that gift of hope. So Paul prays for these people of Ephesus, and he prays that the eyes of their hearts would be opened so that they might know the full power of God, that they might know the power of God that was evident not only when God raised Jesus from the dead, but that same power that was evident when God raised Jesus to the right hand of God himself. Paul wants the people of Ephesus and us to know that we have already been gifted and blessed by God. We have already received that gift of hope, that gift of hope that comes through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We've already received the riches of the inheritance of being believers in Jesus Christ. We have the riches of fellowship, the riches of the Holy Spirit. We have the riches of salvation. And Paul prays too that they would know God's immeasurable power, that they have already received. But they just need their eyes of their hearts enlightened so they recognize that, so that they claim it, and so that they live it. Paul is grateful, as we are grateful, for all the gifts of God that we have already received. And hopefully with our eyes opened, with the eyes of our hearts opened, enlightened, we too can be witnesses to all these things. As the story goes, a young woman was walking home from work on one cold evening. And as she passed a corner, there was a girl in very thin clothing with unkempt hair and looking very bedraggled, and her cheeks were red from the cold, and she had a begging dish. So this young woman hurriedly threw a few coins into that dish and smiled at the young girl and then walked on. As she walked on, she felt rather guilty. She felt guilty that she was going to her nice warm home, that she had a wardrobe full of beautiful clothes, that she had truly been blessed with much. And so she felt guilty that she hadn't done more for that young girl. And as she continued to walk to her home, she began not to feel guilty, but to be angry with God. And so she offered up to God a prayer of protest. God, how could you let this happen? How could you let this thing be? And as she continued to walk, she heard God answer her prayers. She heard God answer her prayers as God said, I did do something. I created you. I did do something. I created you. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to witness to the good news by our lives, by our words, and especially by how we live. We are called to be the storytellers, to be the ones that constantly tell the good news of Jesus, all that he did, all that he offered us, how he gave us that gift of salvation. We are called to be the bearers of hope, to bring hope to a hurting world, the world here and now at our doorstep in our community. The world that surrounds us is in need of that good news. They need to know the hope of salvation, the hope that God offers each and every one of God's children. We are called to be storytellers. We are called to be hope bearers. But we are called especially to be the arms and legs of Christ himself. When Jesus left, he said to those disciples, "You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses in all the world. Go and do these things." Hear these words of a prayer from Teresa of Avila. Teresa was a religious person living in the 16th century. And this is her prayer, and you've probably heard it before. God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. The hands and the feet of Christ, may it be so, as we witness to all these things. Amen.